Some people benefit from some people with CFS and fibromyalgia benefit from physical therapies, exercise therapies, also visiting people like osteopaths, chiropractors, massage therapists, shiatsu therapists, acupuncturists. I have a number of people who have not had any kind of relief until they went to see a good Chinese acupuncturist. So many times it's well worth investigating. If you have tried a lot of different treatments, either you didn't have success with them or couldn't afford them or whatever reason, it may be worth your while to see a Chinese acupuncturist and see if that makes a huge difference for you. Some people with severe chronic fatigue syndrome have benefited from something called the Myers cocktail. Anyone here ever heard of that or had that? A few people. Myers cocktail is basically an intravenous program. There are some doctors in the city who are using things like intravenous vitamin C, but the Myers cocktail contains calcium, magnesium, vitamin B12, vitamin B6, vitamin B5 in the form of something called dexpanthenol, B-complex vitamins, and vitamin C. And this mixture is injected once or several times a week. And the advantage of this kind of treatment is that people who have a very poor digestive system and don't absorb the nutrients too well, with the intravenous, this gets directly into the bloodstream. And for some reason or other, the very high dosages of these vitamins seems to get into the cells and rejuvenate the cells that way. So for some people, this may be really quite curative. In other people, vitamin B12 injections intramuscular or magnesium sulfate injections intramuscular may be very effective. But those are things that I would reserve for more severe cases, and nobody likes to get injections. And if you can do it orally, great. If you can't, then obviously the injections may be the only way to go. In both chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia, there may be problems with what are called neurotransmitters. This is one of the reasons why drugs like Prozac and Cirzone and Luvox and Zoloft and all of these other drugs work. Also, things like Celexa. Celexa is another one of these SSRIs. It's because they tend to balance the neurotransmitters. They tend to work on the serotonin and the dopamine pathways. And by increasing those levels, they improve mental energy, they improve your focusing, they improve your, basically, your sleep, and they may improve the way you eat and a lot of other things. If you don't want to take any of those drugs, what you can do is you can take either L-tryptophan, which is available from your doctor as a prescription. L-tryptophan, usually 1,000 milligrams three times a day. Or if you want to get something that's a little bit better, I found that in CFS and in fibromyalgia, I feel that 5-hydroxytryptophan, that's 5-HTP, which comes from the Griffonia seed, is more effective than the tryptophan, which comes from a drugstore. And usual dosage there is between 50 and 200 milligrams several times a day. Now, there are some side effects potentially with 5-hydroxytryptophan. The big side effect is nausea. And in fact, 5-HTP is used in treating weight disorders because it seems to control appetite quite well. Unfortunately, if you take too much of it, you'll get too much appetite control, and that translates into nausea. But beyond that, there really aren't any severe side effects with 5-HTP. If the dosage, if you're getting nausea or you're feeling kind of like you have absolutely no appetite, you better cut back on the dose, and usually you can find the right dose for you. And 5-HTP is something that will allow you to sleep a lot better and probably will take away any things like severe muscle spasms, and it might make it easier for you to avoid having to use drugs like Prozac and Zoloft and others. So basically, that's the basic protocol that I've been using over the past 5 to 10 years, and it's all described in this book. If you want to get it, it's also got recipes for people that want to, you know, get onto some kind of a regimen. For most people, it's probably a good idea to visit some kind of healthcare practitioner. There are many naturopaths, osteopaths, holistic medical doctors, chiropractors, and other practitioners who are offering parts or the entire treatment that I've outlined here, and probably consulting one of those people and trying to get some tests done to find out what's high, what's low, and what the best approach for you would be the best way to go. Working with a practitioner is oftentimes very effective. It may not be necessary for the more milder cases, and oftentimes I've had people come back and tell me that they just tried a few of the remedies in here and they felt really a lot better and they didn't have to see a doctor. But for many of the more severe cases, probably seeing a physician or a naturopath would be a good idea. So that's basically all I wanted to tell you as far as fighting chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia naturally. And I'd like to open the floor up for questions because I know you have many questions. So we'll start with you. You had your hand up first. Yes. Okay.
Surprised.
The question was, how does one find an osteopath? I believe there is an osteopathic association. They do have an osteopathic school here in the Toronto area who are training people to become osteopaths. The old osteopaths, I believe there's maybe one or two left in the entire province. The College of Physicians and Surgeons is no longer giving licenses out to those people, but so there is a new osteopathic college that has formed in the past 5 years. So I'm sure they're in the phone book. Yes?
What type of EFAs would you suggest if you're allergic?
If you can't take any of the seeds or nuts,
yeah.
What kind of EFA I would recommend? Probably I would start with evening primrose oil. It's very unlikely that your immune system has become sensitized to that one. You can also try hemp seed oil in very small amounts and work your way up. I've not heard of any real bad reactions to hemp seed oil. Even people who were heavy marijuana smokers in the past, they seem to do okay with hemp seed. That's true. You don't get the full range with the evening primrose. You basically get the omega-6s with evening primrose, which seems to be the major deficiency that most people have, and I believe that's one of the reasons why it works so well in chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia. You want to get a balanced essential fatty acid that's either flaxseed oil or hemp seed oil or borage oil. Not necessarily borage oil, but probably flax and hemp seed would be the most balanced. Yes, in the back. Is there any danger to taking tryptophan over a long period of time? Well, a few years back, I think in the late 1980s, 87, 88, there was a problem with something called eosinophilia myalgia syndrome, where people developed a very bad reaction, immune system reaction, to tryptophan. But it was discovered that this was due to a bacterial contamination of the tryptophan that was manufactured in Japan. For people who have had that kind of a reaction, I'd be very careful, and I would probably try to use the 5-HTP. But once again, I've not seen it happen since then or heard of it happening since then, because right now all the tryptophan is controlled by the drug companies. And in order to get tryptophan, you have to get a prescription from a medical doctor. I've not seen tryptophan. It's been around. People have been able to get it for well over 40 years, I believe, in health food stores. And really, we haven't seen any long-term problems with it. Yes? A question was about cortisol levels through saliva testing. This is a good point. Thank you for bringing that up, because one of the best ways of determining whether your hormones, especially your adrenal hormones and ovarian or gonadal hormones, are high or low is to do a saliva test. It's far more accurate than the blood test. And the reason for that is because the blood tests tend to have all of the hormones complex with proteins. And as such, those aren't the active hormones. The active hormones are the free hormones without the protein. So, for example, for testosterone, if you do a testosterone level, it's not as accurate because the free testosterone level may be completely different. In saliva, the hormones show up as free levels. They don't show up as complex with protein, so it's a far more accurate way of testing. But to answer your question about how to correct the cortisol, there are many different ways of doing this. In mild cases, you can take an adrenal glandular extract, and there are many companies that make those particular extract. You can use high doses of pantothenic acid and vitamin C. You can also use DHEA. In some cases, people who are low in DHEA, for whatever reason, they can sometimes help their cortisol levels, because in order to make cortisol, you need the DHEA. Progesterone is something you should look at, because if your progesterone is low, that may have something to do with the cortisol as well. It's normal. In that case, you probably need to work strictly on the adrenal function. DHEA was low. Well, that would be probably the best way of dealing with it. In people that have low testosterone or cortisol, oftentimes just using DHEA supplements would be the best way. You can get DHEA from the United States. Yes?
There
Is there any danger in long-term use of ginkgo? And if it lowers your blood pressure, can you go off? Some people can, but for I generally don't use ginkgo for blood pressure. Probably if you wanted to control blood pressure naturally, I would look into very high doses of coenzyme Q10, usually around 400 milligrams a day, and hawthorn. Hawthorn is, especially the hawthorn I recommend from Vogel, comes in a tincture form, usually 1 to 2 teaspoons several times a day. There's another herb called forskolin, which is very effective at lowering blood pressure too. Of course, normalizing calcium, magnesium, potassium, and getting rid of any toxic heavy metals like cadmium, for example, will also help with blood pressure. But ginkgo is something that may actually make some blood pressure medications work a little bit better and may lower your blood pressure too quickly. So if you are on blood pressure medications, I'd be careful with ginkgo. Long-term dangers of ginkgo. Ginkgo's been around for 5,000 years, and there's a lot of Chinese people out there who have been using it, and as far as I know, their population has not suffered from it. Yes?
I have a weight problem, and of course, the only exercise that really feels you can do is swimming.
Yes. Question was about someone 72, very overweight, and can only do some swimming. Well, there's someone there that could probably use a good biochemical evaluation of all her hormones, candida status, nutritional status, and probably also food allergies. All of those things may be contributing to her problem, so getting a thorough evaluation would be the first place to go. Yes?
This was brought home really strongly by a 77-year-old lady. Told her, look, done a lot of driving today, can't go anywhere tomorrow. And she looked at
me. The point is well taken that people who don't get restorative sleep, the next day they're just... they don't have their batteries recharged, and that's absolutely true. I hear that all the time. And it's interesting, when people get somewhat better from chronic fatigue or fibromyalgia, they suddenly feel normal, and then they go out and they do all kinds of things they haven't done for months or for years, and then within a week or two, they're back to where they started. And that's because they haven't really had the full impact of the benefits of the treatment. So... In general, people with chronic fatigue or fibromyalgia really have to watch their energy expenditure, and a lot of them will know exactly what their limits are and basically stick with what your body tells you to do. Yes, in the back.
Have you heard of something called myelate
homeopathic? I haven't heard of that, but I have heard that homeopathy is very helpful, and visiting a homeopath is not a bad idea, because I have seen a number of people who have done extremely well with homeopaths, with acupuncture, with Chinese herbs. So there's a lot out there that I haven't told you about, but that may be well worth trying. And if you want to see a homeopathic doctor, I think it's probably a good idea. Yes? Would I supplement calcium, magnesium, malic acid? Yeah, that's a very good combination. In fact, there's several nutritional companies that put out a product just like that. The ratio of calcium and magnesium, it's variable. I think most people are recommending a 2-to-1 ratio of calcium to magnesium. Other people are recommending 1-to-1. I think getting a nutrition evaluation then to see which one is worse, calcium or magnesium. In most cases, they're both deficient. So probably a 1-to-1 or 2-to-1 would be adequate. Yes? Well, CMV, cytomegalovirus, and Epstein-Barr virus, two viruses that are thought to be associated with CFS and or fibromyalgia. Other doctors believe the influenza virus may have something to do with it. It's controversial. If you have high titers for those, there are some antiviral compounds that you can take and that are very safe and effective. One of them is oil of oregano, 2 to 3 drops under the tongue several times a day. Another one is mild silver protein, or colloidal silver, if you want to call it, but make sure you get one that's mild, not one of the highly potent ones, because that can cause side effects. Usually 1 to 2 teaspoons several times a day. And in the health food store, you can get something made by a company called Natural Factors. Natural Factors make something called an acinamide antiviral formula. And that particular formula contains a special form of echinacea called acinamide. It contains astragalus, licorice root, lomatium, and reishi mushroom. And that combination is very effective against viruses, at least it boosts the immune system to fight the viruses. Another thing that you can use that's effective against viruses, antiviral, is something called bovine colostrum, and then a good probiotic supplement. So those are all antivirals, and they usually have to be taken from somewhere between 3 to 6 months. Do that, and then get your titers checked again. See if they're still high. And chances are that it might help get rid of those viruses. Now, the next question about the live cell testing and so on. If you go to China and you talk to somebody who speaks not a word of English and you start reciting the Declaration of Independence, I don't think you're going to see too much agreement there. Okay? So when you talk to a conventional physician, you talk to them about any of this stuff, hair analysis, live cell microscopy, food allergy testing, they're going to be thinking you're talking another language. They're going to be, to some degree, threatened by the fact that you know something that they don't. And if they happen to be people that are prejudiced or biased against natural medicines, they're going to really feel that you're off the wall. And in many cases, their egos are bruised because, you know, you've gone to another physician or you've gone to another type of therapy. And if they're that immature, I think it's probably better not to discuss these kind of things with them at all. In cases of B12 and folic acid, probably taking it under the tongue or as chewable tablets, there are some studies that show that the levels do go up. There's a big problem with blood testing for vitamin B12. Most of the blood tests are inaccurate. They tend to elevate the levels far more than they really are. What you should be looking at in B12, and any conventional doctor will tell you that this is true, is the MCV, MCH, and MCH C values. If those levels are high, the chances, the only thing that can do that is a B12 folic acid deficiency. And for folic acid, don't look at the red cell folate, look at what's called neutrophil hypersegmentation. If your neutrophils have a high number of segments on them, any conventional medical textbook will tell you this is a sign of folic acid deficiency. Okay, yes? Well, don't ask me. I don't work for OHIP. Okay, the question was about what's covered and what isn't. In general, naturopathic type of services and most of the testing and most of the treatments are not covered by OHIP. They don't consider it essential. In general, if you go to a naturopath and you get this sort of thing done, there are some extended medical plans or health plans. I believe the CBC and some companies have coverage for naturopathic services. So if you have an extended plan, like, I don't know, whether it's Blue Cross or Metropolitan Life, I don't even know who it might be, but I do know that some of those do cover naturopathic services. Yes? That's a good question. The question was about lead contaminating calcium, magnesium. Many years ago, a supplement called Dolomite was found to contain traces of lead. And so there was a big scandal about that. And now they have found other natural sources of calcium, oyster shell calcium and several others that contain lead. You can get lead-free supplements from several different manufacturers, and they probably should say it on the label. I think many of the hypoallergenic supplements made by companies like Allergy Research, Thorne Research, natural factors, Sisu, I think probably those are the ones that you can trust, the ones in the health food stores. Also, Flora, I believe, make lead-free supplements.
Some natural factors contain lead too.
Who said that natural factors contains lead?
What I read in an article.
Oh, really? Well, we should tell Roland Gaylor about that because he owns natural factors, so I'll ask him. Yes, that's a good question, yes. Lead excess in the body can affect memory, especially in children. It can really affect childhood behavior, learning ability, hyperactivity, that sort of thing. In grown-ups, it can, in adults, it can certainly affect memory. It can affect the nervous system and produce things like numbness and tingling, paralysis, etc. So it can be toxic to the brain, yeah. How can one avoid that? Well, I think the best thing to do, first of all, is to find out if your lead is high. You can get a hair mineral analysis done, and that's a recognized way of determining whether you have a high level of toxic minerals like lead. And if you do happen to have that, zinc supplements and vitamin C. Zinc and vitamin C will push lead out of the body, usually about 25 milligrams a few times a day of zinc, and about 1,000 milligrams a few times a day of vitamin C. Calcium is another thing that offsets lead. And if your lead level is high and your calcium is low, taking it will certainly be of some protection to you.
Zinc and what else?
Zinc, vitamin C, and calcium. Vitamin C, about 3,000 milligrams a day. Zinc, about 75 milligrams a day. It should counteract the lead, yes. I've not heard of any lead toxicity caused by any calcium magnesium supplements, just the fact that the supplement itself contains some lead. But I don't know which companies these are. I do know that some of the ones that I mentioned, as far as I know, are lead-free. Life? Life brand, that's a pharmaceutical brand. That may or may not have lead in it, hopefully not. Yes? What kind of herbs can you take for exposure to pesticides and urethane, did you say? Yeah. I think you'd want to take things that protect the liver. There are a number of natural remedies like milk thistle, artichoke, turmeric, curcumin. There's a herb called phyllanthus as well. Several companies make these combinations of products that you can take. Curcumin by itself is probably the strongest one. About 500 milligrams three times a day, taken for several months, will help protect the liver. Milk thistle, somewhat the same kind of dosage, would be very effective. Yes? If you don't take ginkgo biloba, is there something else you could take for memory loss? Yes, probably the one that has the most documentation behind it is something called phosphatidylserine. Phosphatidylserine, S-E-R-I-N-E. You've heard of phosphatidylcholine, which comes from lecithin, but there's phosphatidylserine as well. Oh, many different companies make it. Natural Factors, I believe Quest makes it. I think you can go to the health food store and find it in many different companies. Yes, in the back. Your question was, should you get a flu shot? Well, if you want to get injections of mercury, formaldehyde, aluminum, foreign genetic material, and other toxins, yes, go ahead and get a flu shot. Yes? Immune system modulators, Modulcare, Sterinol. Yeah, there are many things like that that are fairly good. Also, things like colostrum would be a good one. 1,3-beta-glucan would be another one. Various amino acids, glutathione, whey protein. Probably the least expensive and the most effective one is glutamine-enriched or glutamine-fortified whey protein. Whey protein has a long list of amino acids or polypeptides that help boost the immune system. And there's some good studies on this that they basically boost the amount of glutathione in the system. And when they do that, they help fight allergies, cancer, autoimmune diseases. There's several books out on this. Yes? What is my opinion of natural hygiene and a raw fruit and vegetable diet? I think probably that kind of approach where you're fasting and you're food combining and you're doing all of these natural hygiene techniques probably are very effective for people that are very toxic, very sick. I think for most people that may be a little bit too much. Actually putting those kind of things into practice is difficult. Usually when people come in to see me, if I put them on that kind of a regime, I probably never see them again. So it's a matter of being practical. You don't have to go that far into doing these kind of regimes to be well, okay? I do recommend that most people cut out things like red meats and obviously fried foods, coffee, tea, alcohol, things that are high in preservatives. Try to eat more organic, have a lot of raw fruits and vegetables, and some cooked foods probably would be okay as well. But I don't think you have to go that far. Yes? Why would someone get constipated from calcium and magnesium supplement? Because of the calcium. Calcium is very binding. And any of you who are heavy dairy product consumers, eat a lot of cheese or milk or ice cream and so on, you know that calcium tends to be very binding. What you need to do there is increase the amount of magnesium. Yes? What's a reliable test for heavy metals? Okay, for different heavy metals, it would be different. Hair mineral analysis is one. You can do some blood tests on red cells and white cells. If you can find the levels of those toxic heavy metals in either the red or the white cells, that would be effective. For lead, there are other types of tests, porphyrin tests, etc. But basically, hair analysis would be the first place to look at. Yes? Do parasites figure into leaky gut? Yes, they do. A lot of people consume food that's contaminated by parasites, and they could be fruits and vegetables, especially things like strawberries and things that come from other countries may be contaminated. The best way of avoiding this is obviously to wash your fruits and vegetables very thoroughly. But the parasites can get in. They can get into the gastrointestinal tract. If you don't have enough acid in your stomach or produce enough of the pancreatic enzymes, then they will, in people that have a leaky gut, some of this will get into the bloodstream. Now, if you have lots of pancreatic enzymes or hydrochloric acid, every time the parasite is sitting there in your GI tract, you're going to be digesting them or breaking them down. So basically, the parasite becomes a nice protein supplement for you. Yes? What supplements do I recommend for helping the liver? Well, I mentioned before curcumin, milk thistle, artichoke, turmeric, and a herb called phyllanthus. Yes? Why did they take carnitine off the market? So the drug companies can then put it into the pharmacy and have doctors write prescriptions for it. Carnitine is available in Canada. It's called Carnitor. That's the brand name. And in order to get it, you can get it from a family doctor or from a specialist. All you need is a prescription. And the difference now is that you are now going to be paying $100 for something that you paid $50 for before. Yes? St. John's wort safe to take every day? Yes. It's far safer than the SSRIs, and some people have been on SSRIs for 5 years or longer. Yes, someone commented that in Europe they've taken things off the market. This is a worldwide phenomenon. It's having to do with global politics and free trade and a lot of other things which we have really no control over. If you're bothered by all of this, there are a number of groups probably here who are basically trying to fight these kind of government issues. There's an election coming up, and I think if you have the opportunity, ask your politicians what their position is on this and then vote for somebody else if their position is anti all these things. Yes?
Can a fever bring on fibromyalgia?
Well, in some cases, and according to Dr. Alan Tyler and several other doctors who believe that this is triggered by some kind of an influenza-like virus, yes. And oftentimes with a viral infection, it starts off as a very high fever, and the individual never seems to recover from that. And there are many people who it all started off as a severe flu or as a severe upper respiratory tract infection of some sort or an influenza virus, and they fought with it for weeks or months, and they've had antibiotics for it, etc. And next thing you know, they've got the condition. So yes, the answer to your question is yes. Yes? What do I suggest we do for children who have a high temperature? Well, I think one thing you can do is you can get an echinacea tincture. There's one by Vogel called Echinophorse. You can also use the antiviral compound. Interestingly enough, anything with a little bit of alcohol in it, if you take a nice shot of that, that quickly lowers the temperature just because of the dynamics of opening up the capillaries and arteries in the periphery. So I've often, with my kids, that's what I've done in the past, is if they've had a temperature, I give them a nice big vodka glass full of echinacea in alcohol, and whammo, within 20 minutes the temperature is normal. There's really nothing seriously wrong about temperatures, high temperatures. Fevers are the body's way of fighting something. So, you know, to suppress it, many naturopaths, and I agree, I think it's probably not a good idea. Now, if a child is prone to seizure disorders or there's something else going on, obviously you'd want to get the temperature under control. However, there doesn't seem to be a very good correlation between seizure disorders and how high the temperature is. So if the child is fairly healthy and this is a unique thing and you know you're not going to do any harm with it, try the Echinophorse or any other kind of herbal tincture in an alcohol base, and that'll get the temperature under control. Generally not. Echinacea, it has really no interactions with other medications as far as I know. Yes?
What can you do for rapid and excessive weight loss
when implementing dietary? Well, basically, you would eat more of the foods that are allowed. Obviously, more vegetables and fruits, more of the rice products. Rice is generally one thing that will maintain weight in most people, and it's relatively hypoallergenic. Of course, it would be brown rice. You would also want to use some of the alternative grains like quinoa, kamut, or teff, or anything which is from rice would usually maintain the weights. Grains tend to be very good at maintaining weight, so if you're rapidly losing weight, you're one of these underweight people who needs to change their diet, you'd have to be fairly careful to maintain an adequate amount of calories. Yes? That's a good question. Are autoimmune diseases treatable, or is the protocol lifelong? Well, I have had a number of people who have had thyroiditis and who've had elevated antibodies, elevated SED rates, elevated CRPs, etc., settle down within as little as 3 months of being on these programs. And what I tell those people then is to challenge themselves and see what happens. Challenge themselves with a food that's been prohibited, and if they don't have a reaction to that, include that food in their diet and slowly get back to where they were before. So I believe that it is something that is curable in many cases. Now, having said that, I've also seen people where they've required 6 months or a year or even longer, you know, to get back to some semblance of normality. So it's highly variable, but I believe it is a curable condition, and I don't believe it's lifelong. Is lupus curable? I've seen a few cases of lupus go into remission. In fact, I have two patients right now who are on very high dose essential fatty acids, very high dose vitamin E and antioxidants, are on a hypoallergenic diet, are taking things for candida, and are taking hormones, and they're under control without prednisone. So that's two cases, and if there were critics in the audience, they would say that's anecdotal, you haven't got any proof. Well, okay. Yes?
Sometimes an accident can cause the onslaught of fibromyalgia. I'm just wondering what the relationship
is. The question was about an accident, how it can cause fibromyalgia. Well, as you know, an accident is severe trauma physically, but it's also trauma mentally and emotionally. And what I found is that a lot of people who have had these things, they do eventually get something like fibromyalgia or chronic fatigue syndrome. And I believe it's because of what happens to the endocrine system. The nervous system and the endocrine system, which are basically your hormones like thyroid and adrenal and pituitary, etc., they're intimately connected. So there's a connection between those hormones and the nervous system. So if you really do in the nervous system and you create a severe shock or trauma, you're going to have an effect on the endocrine system. And you can check the hormones of anyone who's undergone a severe shock or trauma or severe stress in their lives, and you'll find that there's changes in the endocrine system, there are changes in the white cells, there's changes in the immune system, and you're going to find that at some point, if this trauma happens to be severe enough and the person isn't able with their own resources to fight back somehow or normalize things, that they will develop some kind of autoimmune condition. I've seen this over and over again. Yes? Microadenomas that have gone into CFS? Microadenomas of the pituitary you talk about? Yes, I have a couple of patients like that. I've seen that, yes?
The efficacy of
ALCAT
testing?
I think it has some validity. It's a blood test which basically checks for IgG, if I'm not mistaken. Yes, antibodies. Yeah, that's very similar to the RAST or the ELISA testing. Yes.
So okay.
I think it's a good test, yes. Yes? What is the most absorbed type of calcium? Different people have different ideas, but I think the calcium citrate, which is the most easily available, is probably the best. You need acid to absorb calcium. Okay, so if you don't have acid, it's difficult to absorb it. Yes, in the back? The herb Tahibo or Podiarco. It's usually quite effective as an antifungal agent, so it's used in treating candidiasis, fungal infections. It also has some immune-boosting properties, which is why people are using it in cancer treatment. I'm not really sure whether it's as effective in cancer as some people would like to say, but anecdotally, and there's a lot of anecdotal testimonials and so on its use, I don't think it's harmful. I think it may help in some cases of severe candidiasis. Yes. Yeah. Oh, you're talking about folliculitis, question about skin bacteria when you're shaving and on the scalp. That could be due to bacteria on the surface of the skin. You may want to use something like tea tree oil cream, which is available at most health food stores, or you may want to use MSM cream when you're shaving. Don't use regular shaving cream. Use either tea tree oil or MSM cream. It From my experience, it's better than using some of these shaving gels, which are all loaded with chemicals and that basically are... use tea tree oil, which is something that will disinfect the skin quite nicely. Yes? Olive leaf extract? Good question. That's another natural antifungal, antibacterial. There's all kinds of evidence that it may also help with viruses, parasites. It's very safe. Many companies make it. It has no side effects. And the only thing I would advise people to do with that is take it with some acidophilus or probiotic to make sure that the bowel flora is not killed off as well. Yes? The Fighting Fibromyalgia book, it's available at the Alive booth, and it's published by Alive Books. One more question. How about you? Flaking and cracking on the fingers, yes, it's very common. I see a lot of people with CFS, fibromyalgia, with dry skin or flaking and so on. And I believe it's usually due to an essential fatty acid deficiency. By the way, how do you know how much essential fatty acids to take? Anybody here? There's a simple test for it. It's very simple. If your skin is dry, you're not taking enough. So increase the amount you're taking. If your skin is oily, you're taking too much, cut back. And that's really the best test for it. You don't have a gallbladder?
No.
So how can you take essential fatty acids?
Yes. Yeah.
Well, you could still take essential fatty acids. You can get various digestive enzymes and, ox bile and that sort of thing that come with those essential fatty acids to help you absorb those fats. Anyway, I'm sorry I have to go. I'm going to be at the Alive booth. If you have any questions, I'll be happy to answer them. Thank you very much.